For 15 years, Arthur's doctors told him he would never walk unassisted again. He was 47 years old, a disabled veteran of the Persian Gulf War. He was there in 1990 to 91. He had been a paratrooper and through lots of jumps, lots of hard falls. He had ruined his knees and his back. And so when he came home, he gradually began to gain weight, and then he quickly began to gain weight until he was almost 300 pounds. Picture on the left here of this man who is combat ready, juxtaposed with this man who is crippled, who can hardly walk. What's fascinating to me about Arthur's story is the process of transformation that takes place in his life. For 15 years, he's consigned to this reality, at least what he perceives to be reality. The difficulties he's facing day in and day out. He needs crutches to help him walk. He's limited by where he can go. He looks for options, but he's rejected. And there are many things that happen in his life that result in him ultimately having this transformation. But I think there's some lessons we can learn from the life of Arthur and from Scripture about what transformation looks like. This is what physical transformation looks like. What happened with Arthur is he found someone who believed in him. He found someone who would support him. He found something he could believe in. Something he could be convicted about it, and ultimately he began to believe in himself. His goal was that he could walk in 18 months. He began doing some pretty extensive yoga. After 6 months, he had lost 100 pounds. After 10 months, he had lost 140 pounds. And while his goal was to walk in 18 months, he was running after 6 months. That's what physical transformation looks like. But when I saw this story, I wasn't so much interested in the physical aspects of transformation. What fascinated me, as I said, was the process, was the way of thinking, was the mindset. And immediately what my thinking was, what about myself and the spiritual transformation? What does spiritual transformation look like? How does spiritual transformation work? How do I go from this old man that is crippled, that is on crutches, that can barely walk, to this new spiritual man recreated after the image of Jesus Christ? Because that's what God believes that every single one of us can do. And that's where I want us to begin this morning. You found somebody that believes in you. God believes that you can change. God believes that I can change. We can take this old man of sin, this old man of death, and it can be recreated after the image of God in holiness and righteousness. We have something we can believe in, Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life for the sins of all humanity, that all who would come to him will see the Father's face. We have something we can believe in. The real question is, will we believe in God's power working through us? Notice I didn't say, will we believe in ourselves? Because it's not about believing in ourselves. It's about believing in God's power working through us. That's what Paul says in Philippians, the second chapter. God is working in us to will and to do his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2. Just before that phrase, to not grumble, to not complain, but to realize the working of God and the possibilities that come in our life when we realize that God believes in us, that we have something we can believe in Jesus Christ, and that we can believe that God will work through us to transform us into something very different, which leads me to Romans, the 12th chapter this morning. I want you to read this passage with me. I want to take some ideas, some concepts and thoughts that I see in Romans 12, but I also see in Arthur's story, this illustration of physical transformation that I think we can lay across spiritual transformation. We can see what change looks like. We can see what happens, what brings about true change. Begin reading with me in Romans chapter 12. Paul has set this chapter up by explaining God's plan for the world and what it means to be a part of God's people. And now he's going to explain what it looks like to be a part of God's people, what a relationship with God looks like, what a relationship with other saints looks like. And this is where he begins. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think of the rich young ruler when I think about the idea of transformation. This man who came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus begins listing some of the commandments. You know, do not murder, honor your father and mother. And the rich ruler says, all these things I've done from my youth. And so he says, okay, then go and sell your possessions and give them to the poor. And then come and follow me. And he goes away sorrowful. You know the story. And then Jesus commentates to his disciples, the men who are around him. He says, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I want you to have that statement in your mind as we talk about what transformation looks like, what spiritual transformation is in our life. What we have to do to experience spiritual transformation. Things are difficult in life, and it is hard sometimes. Just like that rich man, it was difficult for him, and he was unwilling to do so. He was unwilling to go through the transformation, to give up his wealth and give it to the poor and follow Jesus. Life is hard, and it is difficult. And Jesus said, this is like a camel going through the eye of a needle. And the disciples say, hey, then who can do this? And he says, well, with man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. And whatever we have as baggage in our life, whatever difficulties we have faced in our life, I want us to understand this. With God, all things are possible. There is not a single person here this morning who just has no hope. who looks at their life and says, look at the things I've done. There's no way I can change. That is the power of the gospel message. We can take that old man, whatever is wrapped up in what that old man is, and it can be brought to death. Paul uses the image in Romans 6 of baptism, that we die to self and then we are resurrected to new life. That's what that image, that's what that metaphor is about. Our connection with Jesus is dying to ourselves and coming out of that water a new person. He makes a similar type of analogy in Colossians chapter 3, this old man versus the new man. You mortify the flesh. You put away your members of the flesh, the fleshly way of thinking. You think on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. The transformation can happen. But we need to talk about how. We need to talk about how transformation takes place. First of all, we need to understand that transformation takes sacrifice. A sacrifice the rich ruler wasn't willing to make. He wasn't transformed because he wouldn't make the sacrifice to make it happen. Sometimes it's hard to give up what we so desperately want to hold on to. Sometimes it's hard to make the trade-off, right? We want to hold on to that little bit of ourselves, that little bit of self that's so important to us. And in doing so, by trying to save our life, we lose it. That's what the rich man did. And so we have to be honest in the very beginning. Transformation takes sacrifice. But if we're going to talk about how this happens, the way in which spiritual transformation is going to take place in my life, we have to start at the very basic element, the foundation, and that is that transformation ultimately is a choice. I have to choose, just like that rich ruler. You can choose to walk away and go the other direction and enjoy your wealth for as long as you have it, or you can choose to give it up and follow Jesus. Well, that was the problem the rich ruler has. My problem, your problem, as we evaluate, as we examine, it may be very different than what Jesus identified with him. But there are sacrifices along the way. There is a choice to be made. I have to be willing to admit faults in my life. I have to be willing to evaluate strengths and weaknesses. I need to be willing to take a plan and to put it into action, to think about how am I going to make this change. If I'm going to choose to follow Jesus, what is that going to look like in my life? I know some of the things we looked at in Romans chapter 12. He says, I appeal to you. I urge you. He's pleading with them, given all the information he's given them up to this point, chapter 1 through 11. Now he's urging them to present their bodies as living sacrifices. Transformation takes sacrifice. But maybe in rushing to that living sacrifices statement, we can kind of gloss over what comes right before that. Present your bodies. It's a choice. It's a decision that has to be made, that we're going to bring ourselves to Jesus, that we're going to bring ourselves to the will of God. We're going to choose to live this kind of life. And then from that choice, then comes the sacrifice, that we present ourselves before him as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God. That is our spiritual service. And this is a decision that must be made. It's the decision the rich ruler would not make. It's a decision that many of us have made. And that's why we're here this morning. Presenting ourselves, even in this very moment, in the presence of God. We have made this choice that we want to be transformed, and that we want to be different than what we once were. That in Christ, that we can be something completely different than what we were on our own. But there takes some planning. There's a lot of planning that goes on here for Bible classes, for what we do in our assembly, even new Christian type of classes that we have begun offering. And all of that is part of what this is about making this choice and about living this choice. But ultimately, the choice has to be made on our own. We can come to some classes and we can take advantage of what is offered in a place like this, but then what are we doing day to day? I want to suggest to you that there is no such thing as failure along these lines. I have spent years and years and years trying to find something that works for me on a daily basis. Maybe you're like that too. We make this choice, but now how are we going to live it? We want to present ourselves before God as living sacrifices. But how am I going to do this on a daily basis? What's the process by which I'm going to make this happen? And so maybe something works for a little while and that kind of wanes a little bit and I come up with some other idea. And what I do know, though, is when I am trying something, when I am planning and I'm trying to enact those plans, this is where we're going to go next, I see changes. For example, just this very text alone, Romans 12, through what I've been doing recently, this is just my own personal example. I've been reading through various books of the Bible, getting up in the morning and reading. I've just read through Romans because I'm going to be teaching Romans. I've read through it a few times, but I purposely did it in my morning readings. But it's interesting, I read Romans 12 a few days ago, or really, I guess a week and a half or so ago now, and it was amazing how frequently I was able to use that chapter in various communications over the last week and a half. Some questions that were asked to me about biblical matters. Surprisingly, some of the answers were right in Romans 12. It's amazing how that works. How we have some kind of plan and we are enacting that plan, it somehow just kind of fits into our daily activity and the things that are happening. It fit really well with what I was wanting to accomplish this morning in this sermon and how it lays out this plan of what transformation looks like and what life among saints looks like. And so it was very apropos to that concept, to that idea. And so when we begin a plan, we plan and we're trying to make things happen in our life, we're making this choice that I want to be transformed. I want to be different. If we don't have a plan, it's not going to happen. If we're not planning, there's going to be no results. And we may think, well, I just don't know if my plan will be very good. Don't worry about that. We just have to be coming up with something. It's a process. We learn some things work and some things don't. Maybe in your life you've tried prayer at different times of day, in different situations. And you've learned sometimes this is a good place. Maybe you've learned that in your car on the way to work is not a good place to pray for you. But the important thing is we're trying to work on some kind of plan, because what we understand is that God believes in my ability to change. And Jesus Christ is someone I can believe in, and that God will work through me if I'm willing to accept his will, if I will believe in him. And so somewhere along the way, I need to have some kind of plan that's going to work in my life to allow God to work within me, to transform me, to change me from within. Do not be conformed, he says, but be renewed in mind. If we're going to be transformed, it's going to be because we choose to do so. It's got to be at some level a choice that is made. No one can come and force us to be transformed. No one's going to come and make us go through daily activities and daily routines. No one's going to come and say, you have to follow Jesus Christ. It's a choice that I make, and it's a choice that you make. If we really want to change as people and be transformed, it's because we're looking at that old man. Using this illustration, we're looking at this guy who has gained weight, who is crippled, and we realize, I don't want that anymore. I want to be healthy and vibrant. I want to be alive. I want to be serving Christ to my fullest capability. And so I want to get rid of that old man. I want to bring in a new man. And so we choose to present our bodies as living sacrifices. We choose this path, this life. But if we want transformation, it's got to go beyond a choice. We have to take those ideas, those plans, and we have to begin enacting them, working through them, evaluating them, changing them, realizing that what we're trying to accomplish is not just the choice itself, but as I said earlier, living that choice, going through the process of transformation. How many of us have said, I want to lose weight? I've done that many times. So I say, you know what, I'm going to lose some weight. But you know what, if I don't have any plan and I don't enact a plan, it does not happen. If I'm not consistent with my plan, if I don't have some tenacity to realize that there's going to be some discouragement and I have to have the courage to keep up this plan and to be consistent with it, then it's not going to happen. And so transformation demands consistency and courage. That means I have to be willing to stick with this choice that I've made. I've decided I want to present my body as a living sacrifice. I want to be holy and acceptable to God because that's my spiritual service. That's what God wants for me. That's what he expects from me. It's what I want for myself and expect for myself. But he says this, do not be conformed to the world. Don't you see that's what was happening with Arthur in the beginning? This is what your life is, Arthur. You're 300 pounds and you can't walk. Get used to it. He sought help various places. People weren't willing to help him. And so he had almost lost all hope until he found that one person who believed. But that whole concept is the whole concept of conformity, where we get very used to the way things are. And what's interesting to me about Scripture and what God wants from us is he wants us to think differently than everyone else. He wants us to realize there's so much more out there beyond the way the world thinks. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind. The renewal of the mind, that is something that is happening regularly. That is something that speaks to consistency. That's something that brings about change. You don't be conformed to the things the way they are, but you look for things to be different. So I'm going to take this old man that is corrupted in sin and vileness, and I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice to God because God believes in me. He believes I can be recreated in the image of Christ, that I can become something different, something new, something better. And here's the reality. People will discourage you. And it can come from any direction. Maybe it is you're a new Christian. This is typically what we might think. This one example, you're a newer Christian, and maybe your family, they look at you and they think, what are you doing? You're crazy. You know, what is all this going to church all the time, and you have all these new friends, and you don't want to do the things that we're doing anymore? And so those discouragements are going to come. You need the consistency. You also need the courage, don't you? The willingness to realize this is a choice I have made, that I want to be different. I don't want to be what I was. And so I may have some different friends. I may do things different ways because I want to be different. But it could also be that our own brethren sometimes don't understand our changes and our choices. Maybe nothing wrong even with some of the questions they ask, or them not wanting to do things the way that we do them, or not understanding why I make a decision or you make a decision the way that you do. But listen, if it's part of your plan and you want to change and you want to be transformed, have the courage to stick with it. Be consistent. Realize that God can work through us in powerful ways. That is the message of the gospel. He can change us from within. Don't be conformed. Don't look around and see all the things that everybody else does and say, well, I just say, I got to do it that way. Look to Scripture. Understand the will of God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's what James tells us. And so if the way I go about things from a day-to-day basis is different than the way you do it, that's fine. But we need to find some consistency. We need to have courage. We need to look at the goals that we can have in our life, spiritual goals, the things that we can accomplish. And you know what? Paul has some things to say about that, doesn't he, in Romans chapter 12. First of all, he says, be humble. Don't think too highly of yourself. He starts there in verse 3 and works his way down almost to the end of the chapter and then says it again. Associate with the lowly. Don't think that you're so great. Realize that this is a life of community. You're living among the saints. You're working together with them. It's not just about one member, but about many members. But in the midst of that, we all have differing gifts. And so we find those gifts that we have. We find the things that we are able to do, and we use them. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. We're not all the same, and so we may not do everything exactly the same way. And the way that we present our bodies before the Lord as sacrifices, it may vary at times because of the things that we're good at. And he says, you find your strengths, and you work to those strengths. You want to change and be different? You want to be transformed? You make this choice to follow Jesus Christ, and you see the ways in which he has blessed you in your life, and you use those abilities and those blessings to the fullest of your capability to serve Jesus Christ and be that living sacrifice. And you do that no matter what anybody says. With regularity, with courage, waking up every single day, renewed in spirit. Ready to not be conformed, not just to do things like everyone else, but to be transformed, to be different. God believes that we have the ability to change. He believes and he expects that we can be something different and something better. So I have to ask myself, well, I believe that God can work in me. Transformation takes sacrifice. Maybe I have to give some things up to play to my strengths, to do the things that I do well, to really dedicate myself to the Lord in his service. There may be some trade-offs. But if we truly want change, those are the choices that are going to be that we're going to have to make. If we're really after becoming a new man, there absolutely will be trade-offs. There will be sacrifices we have to make. Whether it's friends or how we spend time with our family or the activities that we do or the sorts of things that we participate in, even among our brethren, there's going to be trade-offs somewhere, and we have to decide what is most important to us in our service to the Lord. It's a choice, and it takes consistency, and it takes courage. But ultimately, transformation requires conviction. I've referenced a few times so far this morning this reality that God believes in us. That's why we hold that book in our hands that he's preserved, that we can read and understand his will. He believes that we can change. He has a plan for us to change, enacted through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to his plan, who came at the fullness of times to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the advocate for us. But when it comes down to it, we have to believe in God. We have to be convicted. We have to trust that his way works. We have to have faith that his plan is going to bring salvation, that his plan is going to recreate me into something beyond what I could ever ask or hope or imagine. Because God doesn't think like man thinks. I can think of what my best self would be, and I could try to come up with that, and various types of motivational speakers and people out there will kind of push that idea, you know, become your best self, and I have no problem with that. But the reality is, the only way for me to understand what my best self is to understand the will of God and to present myself as a living sacrifice, to make that choice to be his, and then to be renewed in the spirit of my mind, to be consistent and to be courageous and to do things in his ways and decide that his way is the right way, that he has the true answers of life, and be fully convicted in it. I like the story of Tony Robbins, who is one of those motivational speakers. His son was out of the country one time. He got extremely sick. Went to the hospital. They said, here are a couple drugs, a couple options for you to take. Didn't really know what to do. And so he called his father and said, here's what they're offering me. They have a couple drugs. Which one should I take? His father said, I don't really care which drug you take, but this is what you do. Whichever one you choose, you believe 100% that it's going to make you better. That's the idea. That's what conviction is. That's what faith is all about. We believe in the plan of God. We understand that his way is the right way, and we throw ourselves fully into the answers that he has given to us. And that doesn't mean we don't ever question things or we don't ever have doubts. We're going to have doubts, but we investigate those doubts. We look into those doubts, and we find answers. Our faith grows. It becomes stronger through testing, through examining, and Paul talks about that too. He says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's that choice. That's the consistency, the courage, the regularity. that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Some of you say that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. That brings the idea of conviction along with it. Transformation follows conviction. We test, we examine, we grow, we learn. And while we go through that, we transform. As we get older, and many of you have much more experience with this than I do, some of you being twice my age, but we have experiences. We go through things in life, and we realize more and more how important God is in our life and how desperately we need him. And so as we are convicted, we are transformed. And as we are convicted again, we're transformed even more. It's a process. We are recreated. We are brought to newness of life. But it's not just that one action. Remember, it's the renewal of the mind. It's that regularity. It's not that we make one choice and from there all the decisions are made. It's that we've made a choice that we're going to continue the renewal process. That whatever I do, I'm going to be doing to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because I know that God's ways work. I'm convicted by that. I believe that. And so I'm going to investigate in whatever I do in life to come back to that reality that God is true. That God is right. And I'm willing to test and to examine and to discern what is good and acceptable and perfect. And here's the thing about that. I may discover that what I've always thought before was wrong. But you know what that is? That's being transformed. That's waking up tomorrow and testing and examining, looking at Scripture and evaluating it against myself. And maybe I have been wrong. But the great thing about that is I've already made the choice to follow him. I've already made the choice that I'm going to be renewed daily by his will and his way. And that is the only way that we're going to take that spiritual man that looks like Arthur 1.0 and become Arthur 2.0. Getting rid of the excess. Getting rid of the obstacles in life. The sin which so easily entangles us, the Hebrew writer says, and becoming something so much better. Let me ask you this question, and bringing you back to the rich ruler. And it's a question I think we all have to ask ourselves. What is the one thing that is hindering your transformation? What is the one thing that is holding you back? For the rich man, it was his money. He just couldn't fathom giving up his wealth. He wasn't convicted, was he? What that really means is he wasn't convicted that Jesus Christ was the answer. If he was truly convicted, if he really had faith, the transformation would have followed. He would have said, whatever Jesus says, I'm going to do. I don't understand it. I don't know what's going to happen from here. I mean, I'm going to give up my wealth. I've always been wealthy. I don't know what's going to come next, but Jesus said it, so I'm going to do it. That's transformation. What I have to ask myself is, what is that one thing for me? And maybe it is you've lost hope. You feel a little bit like Arthur. Life is just the way it is. Whatever that sin is, it's just always going to be there. Whatever that difficulty, that trial in your life, the obstacles that stand between you and becoming something different, it's just always going to be there, and there's no hope of getting rid of it. I want to change your thinking this morning. Do not be conformed to the world. Don't think in the terms and the way that the world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renewal of your spirit. Think differently. Realize that God believes that you can change and that Jesus Christ came and he died so that we would change and start believing in God's power to work through you. You know what's amazing about this whole process? This whole idea of conviction and having goals and reaching those goals is that God in his wisdom, you know one of the most important elements of all that? Accountability. And God, in his wisdom, has set up the perfect way to have accountability every single week we are together. We visit and we talk. We share our lives. We're here on Sundays. We come on Wednesdays. One of the most powerful ways to change is to have accountability. We're accountable to God. We're accountable to God through Scripture, but we're also accountable to one another. So if you want to change, if you want to be transformed, you realize God believes, and that you can believe in Christ. You can believe in God working through you. But find someone else here that believes in you too. And use the wisdom of God in the assembly, in the congregation, to allow yourself to be transformed, become something completely different, completely new in service to the Lord. Can we help you this morning? Why don't you come now as we stand and we sing together.